Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 28, the first 10 verses. And while you're looking that up, I just have a question for Marvin. Did you start that turkey last night? Did the house smell good this morning? Is it still smelling good? While you're looking for that, Matthew 28, verse 1 through 10, Marvin called me yesterday and reminded me I've got to watch my big mouth. Because when I say something, it may come back after me. This is the phone call. Hey, Paul. Hey, how you doing? Hey, Friday night was real good. Hey, you remember that sermon you preached about 2 years ago? Yeah, Marvin, I remember all of them. He said, in that sermon, you talked about a way you cook a turkey. And you something about turning it upside down and all this. And oh, okay, well, you started the night before, Marvin, real low heat. Turn it upside down so the juice goes into the breast. Just let it slow cook all night long. Okay, yeah, that's what I called about. You had talked about that 2 years ago. That's a reminder, people, that what you say gets out there. I just was curious, was that house smelling good? Amen. Matthew chapter 28. And after the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denied. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scars. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sundays come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking the Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit burning. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's come. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. He ain't forsaken by his father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my king yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has come, and Satan just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a cup.
George Sweeting tells of an incident in the early 1920s when the communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to an address at an anti-God rally. For an hour, he was abused and ridiculed, and he was torn into the Christian faith. He ripped and shredded. Nikolai never stopped. It was as if the whole structure of belief of a Christian was left in ruins. And then questions were invited, and an Orthodox church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned face to people and gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen!" Instantly the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." Brothers and sisters, he is risen! What's today?
Sunday.
Sunday. We made it.
Amen.
Today is Sunday. Today's the day. It's Sunday all over again. Yeah, I know there was a Sunday last week, but today is that Sunday. Sunday's a coming. Today, do you know what happened? He is risen.
He is risen.
And today, the answers to all things came forward. The answers to hope were restored today. You understand, I get a little wound up. I will never let you understand or forget that I love Christmas. Especially when I come downstairs and see the Christmas tree, and somewhere under there are gifts for me. I'm especially happy. Although in the past several Christmases, there ain't been a tractor under there yet. I love the holiday. I love everything about it. But it pales in comparison to Sunday. To this day, to the day that the covenant was made, today the answers of hope were given. Do you understand what hope is?
Yes.
No, you don't. Let me explain to you in an illustration what true hope is. Are you ready? A man was sentenced to death. He obtained a reprieve by a king if he would teach his majesty's horse how to fly. And you understand, he was going to die. And he went to the king and said, "I can teach your favorite horse how to fly. And I'll do it within 1 year. On the condition that if he didn't succeed, he would be put to death at the end of the year." Later on, the man explained these words: "Within 1 year, the king may die. I may die. The horse may die. And furthermore, in a year, who knows? Maybe the horse will learn to fly." That's hope. That's undeniable hope. And that's what was given to us today when the stone rolled away. Amen. It wasn't just restored. It was broadcast. If you go back and read the four Gospels, I know a lot of people get caught up. Well, they don't match. They're not supposed to. Have you ever seen the Statler Brothers before? Anybody in this room that's ever heard of Statler Brothers, put your hand up. That's what I thought. Pretty near everybody. I love the Statler brothers. Two brothers and two cousins from down in Stafford, Virginia. You ever heard them sing? Put your hand up. I was at the Great Frederick Fair in 1975 and 1976 and heard them sing. There's four men that stand on a stage. You have the bass, You have the alto, you have the tenor, and you have the baritone. They sing differently. If you've ever pulled one of them away from the other, they're singing differently. The bass player, I can't do it because that just ain't going to happen. And I can't sing any of the other parts because I ain't got no wind, but it's all different. And what happens when you pile them together? What do you hear? You hear harmony. You hear music. Everything different. Everything the same. Brothers and sisters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the harmony of the Gospels. And if you read them as they're supposed to be read, they come together. They bring harmony. They bring hope. And do you know what they tell you? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That is what was broadcast. It was made full by an empty tomb. Today, hope was restored. I wasn't there. The preacher this morning, Chuck Schroyer, loved his message this morning. Absolutely thrilled with it. I loved his answer. Were you there? And I love that old song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I'll learn that when I get my wind back and sing it. It's a good song. It's a good bluegrass song too, by the way, and we all know how I feel about that. But were you there? No, you weren't. But you can only imagine. As that cross was drug up by ropes and a man that was nailed to it, we learned Friday night what? That crucify means one thing. It means nailed to a cross. And while they drug that thing up, I'm sure hope went away. I'm sure absolute destruction began to fill the minds of everybody there. What happened? We heard it this morning. Where did the disciples go? 11 strong men ran. They ran away. They left hope behind and they said no more. But they found that today, while they were away, while they were in shame, while they were crying, hope was restored. We often read from John on Easter Sunday because everybody likes the account of John, and I love it especially. And believe you me, we're headed there later, but we forget about the account of Matthew in his gospel where Jesus met them on the road and told them, "You're going to see me now." Hope has been restored. That's the first answer that comes on a day like today, on Sunday. Tony Campolo, when he was doing that speech, that beautiful little soliloquy or poem or I don't know whatever you call it. You English teachers can correct me later. What was it? A monologue. Well, it rhymed. Didn't that a poem? It could have been a soliloquy, you know. Didn't, what's that man's name, Shakespeare, do a soliloquy? What light through yonder window breaks? It is the dawn. I know a little Shakespeare. And that was it. Anyhow. He put together this because he wanted you to see the things that were going on. Everything was being restored. Faith, hope, trust, love, salvation was coming. A resurrection had happened and a new covenant was coming forward. Faith today was restored. You know what faith is? No, you don't. Let me tell you a story about it. During the terrible days of the Blitz of London in World War II, and I recently watched a documentary about a man who was 15 when the Blitz hit. And he lived in the center of London and talked about it. Oh my golly. Do you know that they stood on the roof of the great cathedral in London and caught the bombs that fell from the airplanes and threw them to the ground so as not to blow that up? And I see your faces looking at me. Huh? That ain't possible. Well, see, that's where you don't know technical stuff like me. That's why you're lucky to have me around. The bombs didn't blow up on impact. The bombs had timers on them. They had a little propeller on the front that would wind the timer up. And so they had time to get rid of them before they blew up their church. That's what it meant. And he talked about that. And during the Blitz, great things happened. But this particular story talks about during the Blitz, a father holding a small son by his hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole as the bombs raised all around him. And he held out his arms for his son to follow. Terrified yet, hearing his father's voice to him, "Jump," the boy replied, "I can't see you." The Father, looking up against the sky, tinted by the red of the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of His Son, "But I can see you. Jump!" The boy jumped because he trusted and had faith in his Father. We can't see Jesus right now, can we? We can see tons of pictures. We can see what we hope is Him and how we act. But we can't see Him physically yet. And yet we have that faith. If Christ says, "Do, I can't see you, but I will." The Christian faith enables us to face life or meet death, not because of who we can see, but with the certainty that we are seen and we are known. That's faith. Faith is what moves mountains. It's what takes on challenges. It's what keeps us moving. Faith meets all that head on, and we stand boldly behind it. With hope and faith, we're ready, aren't we? That's what God answered today. He had been telling them, this is what's coming. They had faith in Him being the Messiah. They hung Him on a cross and killed Him. Everything was destroyed at that moment. Jesus Christ, brokenhearted, I'm sure, as He come up out of that tomb, knew that He would be in restoration. And He was. Let me give you another example of faith. And I love this story. Edna Butterfield, I don't know if you've ever read any of her work. She's a kind of a little prominent writer there. She wrote that my husband Ron once taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers. Looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations, Ron got them to play chess, restore furniture, and repair electrical appliances. What was more important is that he taught them to believe in themselves and have faith. A student in his class, young Bobby, soon proved how well he had learned the lesson of faith. One day he brought in a broken toaster to repair. He was carrying the toaster tucked under one arm, and in the other hand he carried a loaf of bread. That's called faith. He had come prepared. He knew he could do it. Now that we have seen Him come up out of the ground, now that we have seen Jesus Christ destroy hell and destroy death, is there anything with Christ that we cannot do? No. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It's what keeps us going. It's that faith. Answers like belief. John 20. Verse 11 through 18. The disciples went back to their homes. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put Him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," He said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking He was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him, and I will go and get Him." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She believed. She saw hope restored, faith refilled. She saw, she believed. I am so jealous of her. Why couldn't that have been me? Well, we all know why. Because I'd have been one of them disciples hiding over in the cow barn. She saw. She came to the tomb. We never talk about why. I'll tell you why. It was Sunday morning. She saw Friday, but she didn't know that Sunday's a-coming. She came because she loved her Jesus so much. And when she got there and saw the rock rolled open. We all know how the rock got put there, right? In one of the Gospels it talks about that they laid the rock over there. And the old Caiaphas and his bunch went to the Pilate. And what did he say to him? Pilate, you know, the disciples might steal His body and make a big deal out of it and say, "Look, He rose just like He said He was going to." I think Pilate you should go there and do something about it. Pilate, of course, being a man, when another man talks to him like that, his chest comes out a little bit more. Yes, you're right. I shall send over a legion of guards, and I shall have my seal put upon the tomb, and nobody will dare break that. Poof! He put a seal on the tomb. It's kind of funny, isn't it? I always read that laughing to myself, because I'm a whole lot like that at times. I think if I do it, nobody else can. And I find out I'm very wrong. She shows up and the seal is broken. The tomb is open. In Matthew's account, they're laying there on the ground, or had been laying on the ground. And she saw and she believed. The content of belief is important. Make sure you understand it. Jonathan Whitfield was preaching to coal miners in England. You're going to like this one. He asked one man, "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe the same as the church." "That's an easy answer, isn't it?" Jonathan said, "Well, what does the church believe?" The coal miner said, "Well, they believe the same as me." Seeing he was getting nowhere, Whitfield said, "And what is it that you both believe?" The coal miner said, "Well, I suppose we both believe the same thing." Do you understand belief? She believed. She saw. She knew. Jesus Christ had done what he said. He rose from the grave. Walked out of it. The thing, one of the key verses that always gets missed in all the harmony of the Gospels is the close. Make sure if you're ever reading it again, and you should be, that you read that the clothes were neatly placed, folded. You know what that means? That means Jesus didn't just magically appear and reappear here and there at that moment. That means that when the tomb rolled open, he sat up. And made his bed. Because he had nothing left to show. And then walked out. Walked. And gave us a covenant for our everlasting life, the likes of which no other religious figure, leader, any other religion on the face of this earth could ever offer. Jesus said, John 14:1, "Trust in me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." What? "No one comes to the Father except through me." And the final total matter of it all, the resurrection, the salvation, the price was paid. And today, we see the reward of it. I love this day. I could go on for the next 3 or 4 hours, but I don't want Marvin's turkey to burn. And I'm sorry, I can't, after what we went through Friday night, and if you were here Friday night and you left here, you didn't leave here in a very good mood. And you had a lot to think about. But today, we get to think about it. Hudson Taylor talks about what Christianity meant. He said one of his people approached him one time and said, "How do you know that Christianity is even real?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Suppose you're walking a path and you come to a fork in the road." Yogi Berra once said what? "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." I thought there was baseball people in here. I have to have a conversation with y'all. But he said, you come to a fork in the road and trying to make a decision as to which way to go. There's two men there at the fork in the road to give you direction. One's dead and one's alive. Which direction would you take from? That's pretty easy, isn't it? The one who's still alive. Jesus Christ is still alive. Say amen if you believe me.
Amen.
I went on to read another story about him and what salvation and what resurrection meant. It means that today we can enter straight to the Father. The curtain was torn. Our prayers get answered. Hudson Taylor was traveling to China. He was a great missionary on a sailing vessel. And as it neared a channel near the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard a urgent knock at his stateroom door, and he opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We are drifting toward an island. The people here are heathens and cannibals. If we get close enough, we will be taken." "What can I do?" asked Taylor. "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." Hudson said, "All right, Captain, I will, but you must set the sail." Okay, so that's ridiculous. He said, "There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, all my sailors will think I'm crazy." And at the insistence, finally, of Taylor, the captain agreed. Hudson hit his knees, praying to God because he could, because of the risen Savior. 45 minutes later, the captain opens the stateroom door and finds Hudson Taylor on his knees, fervently praying, and puts his hand on his shoulder. He said, "Mr. Taylor, you can stop now. We have more wind than we possibly know what to do with. We are saved." He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ rose from the grave today. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the naysayers say. I don't care what the theologians say. They had that movie on, that Killing Jesus. I sat down and tried to watch it. It was a mess. It was wrong. The man today, Chuck, said the same thing. They didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to them. He comes to you from an empty tomb to offer you that salvation. Today of all things, brothers and sisters, today of all days, as we depart from here, let us keep one thing in our mind. You won't be able to see this, but I want to show this to you. My wife sent this to me. Anybody know who the cartoon BC is? Johnny Hart, you ever seen that? I love all that, especially the guy that rides around on the wheel all the time. He's my favorite. Here's a cartoon. Because you can't see it, there's BC sitting on a rock and one of the other one. He says, "I hate the term Good Friday." Why? As y'all know, Johnny Hart was a devout Christian. He said, "My Lord was hanged on a tree that day." The other fellow says, "If you were going to be hanged on that day and he volunteered to take your place, how would you feel?" And BC says, "Good." The other fellow says, "Have a nice day." He took our place. He died for us. He fought off hell, and we are saved today. Why? Because it's what?
He's risen.
Oh, today is what day?
Sunday.
It's
Sunday.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for everything you gave us, especially on Easter Sunday. Yes, we treasure every time that we can come together in your house and worship you, but why not be extra today? And we certainly have been. From the songs we sung, to the beautiful solo, to the words spoken, to the feelings shared, to the sunrise service, to the hands that prepared it. Everything has been about praising you, Father. Not one iota was for ourselves. And we are blessed. And we thank you so much. We ask, Father, as we go from here today, we are reminded that Friday may have came, but Sunday followed it. And Jesus rose from the grave and saved us all. All we need do is let him. Thank you, Father, for your Son, for that gift. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, all of his children said, Amen. Please stand and turn to hymn number 358, "Because He Lives." How about that? Where's my hymnal? There it is. Hymn number 358. Please stand, sing it loud, belt it out. Let's see if we can drown the organ out. Hymn number 358, "Because He Lives."